This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Good evening, I'm Claudine Cheong. It's the International Day Against Homophobia, Biphobia and Transphobia today. On The Informer tonight, we'll hear about why this is still an important day for our community. Today, May 17th, is the anniversary of the day in 1990 when the World Health Organization removed the classification of homosexuality as a mental disorder. The International Day Against Homophobia, or IDAHO, was established in 2004 to draw attention to the violence and discrimination that LGBTI communities continue to experience around the world. In 2009, transphobia was added to the title, and the acronym IDAHOT became popular. And biphobia was added last year, and some English-speaking countries are now using IDAHOBIT. May 17th is now celebrated in more than 130 countries, including 37 where same-sex acts are still illegal. Three countries celebrating IDAHOT for the first time this year are Bhutan, Brunei and Vanuatu. More locally, Victorian Premier Dan Andrews has acknowledged the day by publicly releasing a sample of the homophobic emails he has received in response to his government's support for safe schools, Pride March and the LGBTI community in general. The Premier said to pedestrian.tv, "If this is what these people are prepared to say to a Premier, I shudder to think what they would say to young people who are hurting no one and who are just trying to be themselves. Homophobia, prejudice and hate still exist in every country in the world and we have to call it out wherever we see it. These emails and letters serve only to remind us exactly why we need law reform, leadership and programs like Safe Schools." We'll have a link to, on The Informer's website to the page on pedestrian.tv where you can see these messages the Premier has received, but you will need a strong stomach. And in Queensland's Sunshine Coast, a school student has spoken out about why IDAHOBIT matters to young LGBTI people. Sam Bozenkay is the co-founder of Queensland's first recognised LGBTIQ high school group. He says, "IDAHOT helps us take action and engage in dialogue with the media, policymakers and the wider community. It gives us a day each year to focus our attention on the violence, discrimination and repression LGBTIQ people experience and to help the wider community understand the people involved." I talked to Sam earlier today and asked him how he had spent his day.
I basically spent IDAHO Day going out and showing my support for the LGBT community. I went to a peaceful protest early this morning to show just appreciation that the Sunshine Coast Council wouldn't raise the rainbow flag.
Have they ever done that, or is that something that you're trying to get them to do?
It's something that we're trying to get them to do because the Noosa Council is going to raise the rainbow flag this afternoon, but the Sunshine Coast Council doesn't want to.
Do you know how long the Noosa Council has been doing the rainbow flag?
This is the first year that it's happened.
Okay, and will you be there at that event?
Yes, it's this afternoon. My parents are also going to attend.
Oh, wonderful. Is today a school day, or have there been events at schools as well?
Today is a school day, and I have just been given the day off because my parents think it's more important that I show my support for the community.
Oh, that's great. I see that you're a co-founder of an LGBTIQ high school group. Can you tell us more about this? Is it just at your school, or is it at a number of different schools?
At the moment, it is just at our school. Mm-hmm. And we have a meeting once a week with about 5 to 7 kids attending, and 5 of them definitely LGBT and the rest are straight supporters.
Great. Are there teachers involved or is it just students?
There are teachers involved. There are 2 main teachers involved and then there are some lesser supportive teachers.
How long has this group been going?
It's been going for about a term now. It started late late last term, in term one, in about week seven, and it's been going once a week since.
Great. What made you decide to form this?
The main reason would be is that the LGBT youth, we don't have any way to connect with each other or to find out who else is like us.
Has it been difficult to get students to come to this group? If it's are there some students who aren't, you think might want to come along, but they're not, they're a bit afraid of being seen in that group?
We do know that there are students that aren't attending, mm-hmm. that in the group we know that they are LGBT, but they're not attending because they're not afraid, they have commitments or they just forget.
Mm-hmm. Has it been going well, or have you had any resistance or challenges from your school?
We've had very little, actually no resistance, mm-hmm. and our peers have been treating us extremely well.
Wonderful.
It's gone very well so far.
And for those of us who don't know the area, is the Sunshine Coast in general, how welcoming, apart from, say, from the council, you know, how welcoming is the general community to LGBTI people?
I can't really comment on that because I don't really know, but mm-hmm. generally, like my family, my friends, parents, they're all generally accepting.
Yep.
I don't know any people that are spitefully against it.
Yeah, so is there much LGBTI media in your area in Queensland, or where do you get say information or news? Do you get anything locally, or are you just more finding stuff, networking online?
We get most of our LGBT news online through Facebook and social apps like that, and we also get some information through newspapers locally.
We got this media release through the Sunshine Coast Rainbow Network. Is that something that you're a part of as well, or is that linked to your group at school?
No, yes, I am a part of that, but it's not linked to the school.
Okay, and what do they do?
My parents have two friends that are in the group, and they asked me to write an article for the group. And the group, to my knowledge, basically organises things to do in the Sunshine Coast, and they help organise activities and fundraisers like they have done today at the university, and like they're doing this afternoon. There's a picnic where the Noosa Council is raising the rainbow flag, and they also help organise like little organisations like the LGBT Helpline, the Headspace, stuff like that.
Do you have anything you'd say to any other young people who might be listening and who might be feeling a bit bullied or a bit disheartened?
I would have something to say to them. The best thing that you can do right now is to tell someone that you trust and know won't judge you or dislike you or get rid of you as a friend or a family member just because of who you are. The best thing you can do right now is try to find other people like you, and if you can, try and rally support and networks and things that bring you all together so you know who else is just like you, because you're not alone.
That was Sam Bersenkay, a young man from the Sunshine Coast. This is The Informer on Joy 94.9. If you've got something to say about Ida Hobbit, let us know. Email onair@joy.org.au or text the studio on 0427-JOY949. Today is the International Day Against Homophobia, Biphobia and Transphobia. It's an important day for LGBTIQ people around the world, including Australia. We just heard from a founder of Queensland's first LGBTIQ school group. And now we'll hear about Ida Hobbit events in Mildura in northwest Victoria. I'm joined by Councillor Ali Cupper from Mildura Rural City Council, along with James Price from Mildura Pride. Thanks for joining us.
Hi. Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Ali, first, how did Mildura's council celebrate Ida Hobbit today?
Well, what we did was quite historic, and certainly the first time it's happened before in Mildura, and we had a ceremonial raising of the rainbow flag outside our major council service centres, not only in Mildura, which in our municipality is kind of the metropolis of the Northwest, but also even in our second biggest town, which probably only has a few hundred people, and that's Oyen. And they also, flew that flag proudly outside the council offices. So it's a really, wonderful, proud moment for us as a community.
Great. So is that flying all day today?
Yeah, all day today at 5 locations around Mildura. It's something that certainly I didn't really expect to be able to achieve, to get that sort of consensus within our council chamber for that to happen. Certainly not in this term. So I think that we're, ahead of where I thought we would be, which is extremely exciting.
That's great to hear. Has there been any resistance, or has it been much, pretty easy going?
Funnily enough, I could be diplomatic, but I think that probably the best thing to do is just to be candid, especially with you guys too, is that the resistance has tended to come from the highest places. Probably the most resistance that we've had to our campaign in Mildura has come from our federal member, Andrew Broad, sadly.
Right.
He's a member of the National Party, a socially conservative party, recently made the analogy when talking about our gay community, something like you can put the rams in the paddock and they might mount each other, but no lambs will come out.
Right.
That sort of derogatory language.
Yeah.
But I think that while he probably thinks he's got most of his conservative constituents on board when he says things like that, I think that probably he's going to quickly find that he's in the minority. The reality is that regardless of what conservative politics might have said in the past, even in the Mallee, we have a lot of, gay, trans, bi people, and they all have family and friends who are very protective of them and love them very much. So I think that the tide is turning even in our conservative communities.
Yeah. So we've also got James here from Mildura Pride. So what's the council and the LGBTI community doing to promote inclusion?
Well, I guess today was one of the biggest, most public steps that we've taken. I guess we've sort of taken the approach that you have to crawl before you can walk, which is really unfortunate in some ways, in relation to what Ali's just said about, I guess, where some of our leaders are at. So it was actually Ali who originally put forward a motion to Mildura Rural City Council for our council to support marriage equality. It unfortunately didn't get through. Ali's spoken of the sentiments of our federal member. So unfortunately, I think it's our role at this very early stage has been about actually educating our leaders. And that's the unfortunate thing, that I think most of our community are on board, particularly when we're talking about marriage equality. Even I think the most die-hard National Party supporters out there in our community are for marriage equality. So I guess it's the reaction from our leaders which was most disappointing, but has also framed how we have had to go about what we do as a reference group through council. So it's been a lot about educating our leaders. But today was a really positive step forward to see the flags flying from Mildura Rural City Council's sort of main office in the middle of Mildura, but also out in the wheat belt out at Oyen, where I know there's a big band of supporters there who, again, people like our federal member might just assume would be against marriage equality or might be homophobic, but it's a pretty big assumption and it's just not true.
Yeah. So how did you get from, say, from last year when the council was rejecting that motion to this stage where there's where they're flying a rainbow flag? Is what sort of change has come about within council? Is that through the reference group and these discussions?
Yeah, look, I might just answer that one because I think it brings home a really salient, powerful point. that it was in 2014, mid-2014, that I introduced the notice of motion about marriage equality, and it was defeated. I think there were seven councillors in the chamber that night, and it was defeated 6-1. The following year, in 2015, was when a different tack was taken. Our council officers actually said, look, hey, you know, we've already got a social inclusion unit. We already have a mandate to be able to engage with our LGBTI community. So let's do it. Let's work more from the ground up rather than starting in the council chamber. Let's start at an officer or a council department level. Let's engage with our LGBTI community. Let's put together a reference group. Let's ask that reference group to put recommendations to the council chamber, and then let's get the council chamber to endorse those recommendations. Now, the critical step, I believe, that happened between that marriage equality motion that was resoundingly defeated and the successful motion about our reference group and our social inclusion plan was that at a council forum, we had three members of that reference group come in and speak directly to councillors, to look them in the eye, to explain to them, person to person, what good leadership would mean to them, would mean in their lives, would mean to their families. And I really do believe that genuinely persuaded councillors. There is nothing more persuasive than sitting down directly with somebody and having that conversation. And that was the difference between a motion that was almost unanimously defeated and one that was almost unanimously supported only 2 years later. So I think it is a real triumph for that direct person-to-person advocacy, and I'm just so grateful and so proud of Jimmy, who was one of the members of that reference group, and the other members there. It made all the difference.
Indeed, that's often what we hear about these conversations, these personal relationships that really make a difference. Thank you, Ali and Jimmy, so much for joining us. I must say that I looked around for rural and regional councils in Victoria that were holding events like these, and I think the Mildura was the only one where I saw a rainbow flag raising. So congratulations on your first Ida Hobbit flag raising, and I hope there are many more in the future.
Thank you, and if we can do it, anyone can.
Indeed. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
A full rundown on these stories will be on the Joy website shortly. Up next, though, we'll get the latest news from the UK and Europe with Will from Attitude.
To find out what's happening in news in the UK and beyond Europe, we're joined by Will Stroud, web editor for Attitude magazine. Good morning, Will.
Good morning to you, James.
It's quite fitting that International Day Against Homophobia is this week, as we've had an American rapper / musician be, well, not only quite homophobic, but quite a racist as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this is, of course, the continued trials and tribulations of Azealia Banks and her, frankly, appalling behaviour on Twitter, which obviously caused a huge storm over here in the UK this week after she sort of last week launched into a sort of awful racist and homophobic diatribe against, National Treasure, former One Direction member Zayn Malik.
Oh, National Treasure, of course. International, like, love of my life, can I add?
Absolutely. And, I mean, of course, if you're going to start a Twitter war, especially one that offensive with anyone, then sort of a former One Direction star, probably not the best person to pick on.
No, can you imagine all the One Directioners standing up for him?
Oh, I mean, absolutely. To be honest, that's the sort of the army I think we needed to finally shut Azealia Banks' sort of appalling social media homophobia down with an army of One Directioners just sort of fighting back against her. So, yeah, at least it had that going for it.
How did it start again?
Well, this is the thing. She actually posted on Instagram a picture of, he'd just released his new video for Like I Would that sort of had some visual similarities to one of her own videos, and sort of implying that he'd sort of ripped off her image, as it were.
God, I'm sure he's not the first person to use UV, like, things in a bloody film clip. Like, is she finding it that hard to be relevant?
Well, that's the thing, absolutely. You know, just like sort of putting a blue filter on things. She trademark Azalea Banks right there. yes, obviously. Yeah, Zane sent some cryptic sort of tweets seemingly directed back at her. And obviously the language that she sort of kicked off and launched into was absolutely appalling, calling yeah. his mother, who is, it must be noted, English and Irish, a dirty refugee.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, obviously calling him a faggot and the rest of it, which, you know, she has a lot of previous with before.
Yeah.
But actually, the reaction was actually incredibly sort of, you know, heartwarming to this. In a way, within hours, she'd been dropped from a headline performance at the UK's Born and Bred Festival late this summer. Obviously, you know, headline star, big step for them to take, but absolutely within hours, they sent out a message saying, you know, she'd been dropped from the performance, they wouldn't touch her, and that the festival was there for everyone to be, you know, to celebrate equality and inclusivity.
Yeah.
So obviously, yeah, a brilliant, strong message from that. And also, interestingly, sort of unconfirmed reports, because they, you know, say they won't comment on individual cases, but the Home Office might actually be looking into this case. They have been known before. Last year, they banned a rapper called Tyler, the Creator, a US rapper, from actually coming over here to tour because of homophobic lyrics and language that he'd used.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, again, you know, possibly further repercussions from this for Azalea Banks, who apparently isn't content with, you know, just derailing her career, but making sure it is completely dead and buried.
Well, we can only hope. That woman. Well... That woman is unbelievable. And while we're at it, having a look at Europe, they've released the best places to be gay. And what's made the top of the list?
Yeah, best and worst. So this is, again, to actually mark International Day Against Homophobia. The International Lesbian and Gay Association for Europe has released their annual index of, you know, sort of equality and LGBT inclusivity measurements. And actually this year, surprising result, Malta has come out on top of the index. Yes, absolutely. And the UK, which actually topped this list for 4 years in a row, slipped down to second last year and now slipped down to third this year.
So,
an interesting...
What's so great about Malta?
It's an interesting result. What this sort of index looks at is not also, you know, obviously attitudes in countries, but sort of how quickly... they are moving in terms of LGBT equality and, you know, taking measures to introduce it. So it's not so much about sort of the legislation you have, but it's what, you know, is being introduced and the sort of attitudes of the government. And obviously Malta is, you know, sort of quite an orthodox Mediterranean nation historically, has come on leaps and bounds in the last few years, introducing like civil partnerships, just, you know, within the last 18 months as well. So obviously a great sign for them of, you know, their progress is headed.
All right, okay. Well, they did have quite a good Eurovision entrant this year, I think, so maybe that's got something to do with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this is, you know, the other reason this list was incredibly timely, because of obviously the Eurovision vibe. So this is almost as important as that.
speaking of Eurovision, commiserations on the UK's devastating, miserable point score.
Yeah. Knew you wouldn't be able to let that one slide by. And congratulations to you guys as well. We were obviously very impressed with Dami, and, you know, she went down hugely well over here. So.
Oh, she was incredible. She does very proud.
Absolutely. Well, you know, maybe you'll finally sort of get over that final hurdle next year, and we'll all be heading to to Sydney for Eurovision, fingers crossed.
You never know. Actually, fun fact, they're looking at having an Asia Vision in 2017, so we might just keep to our region.
Well, I was going to say, so this is what you're going to do, establish yourselves and jump ship to a different region.
Perhaps.
Even worse. All right. Outrageous.
Well, Will, thanks for joining us, and we'll chat next week.
Yes, speak to you then. Thanks, Sam.
And that was James Finlay talking to Will Stroud from Attitude magazine in the UK. Finishing our roundup of our International Day Against Homophobia, Biphobia and Transphobia. So thank you to today's guests, Sam Bozenkay from Queensland and Ali Kappa and James Price from Mildura. And we will have more information and a podcast up on The Informer at joy.org.au/The Informer. Today was produced by myself, Claudine Cheong, with additional help from David Gale. And the Informer will be back tomorrow at 6:30. Up next is World Wide Wave with more international news.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.